necessity of dualism for survival.
All right. So
and we have we're built for survival.
Let's start with the middle path. All right. Sometimes there are tigers in reality, and sometimes not.
Sure.
That almost all of the tigers are mental tigers, not actual real tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means that most of the problems in life are actually mentally made up, conceptualized. All right. And so the middle path would be that when it's not time for duality, then let's stay in the unity of the mind that there are no tigers here. All right. Remember that the dual path the middle path is sometimes there are dangers. And yes, we have to deal with the dangers when they're real. But most of the time, the dangers are not real. That's the middle way, all right? So almost all of the tigers that exist were in the past. They're almost extinct. All of the tigers that are going to come to get you are in the future. They haven't arrived yet. But right now, there are no tigers. Okay, so that's the reality of it is that right now there are no tigers. If you can stay with right now there are no tigers, then you can sit in unity, because the original question was between what is unity and what is duality. And duality is generally you plus your fantasies about what could be dangerous. And when we stop having fantasies about what we are can be dangerous, then we can come back into a state of unity, a state of harmony, a state of satisfaction. That in fact, we can see that duality is dissatisfaction, and that the unity of mind that the Buddha talked about, he used the word samatha, and the word samatha actually means unification of mind. But most people spend their time in a duality. And that duality, for instance, would be past or future rather than right now. Another way of saying it is this, that I take this from Freud, using Burns' vocabulary, but we are caught between how things should be and mm-hmm. how we want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's the parent and the child. The child wants things to be, and the parent is telling them how it should be. So that's where the parent and the child comes in. And the adult is what's real. And if mm-hmm. we stay in reality, then the reality itself is that unity, that at-one-ment, or that atonement, when we're in tune. And the duality comes is when we have thoughts that are not real. So we have the real, the unity, and then we have thoughts of what could be, or what should be, or what I want, which is not real. So the duality actually is between what's real and what's not real. That's the real duality. And most of the ways that it's discussed in Buddhism fails to make that point. They talk about unity as being something magical. All right. So let us say that there you are sitting in your room. I've seen that room many times. Now it's got a green bathrobe hanging on the wall behind you.
Apron.
Apron. All right. So the reality is an apron, and what I saw was bathrobe. That's an example of duality. Okay. If I saw it as an apron and said it was an apron, then I would be in unification.
I thought you were supposed to just see it as some sort of undifferentiated color and not figure out what it was supposed to be at all.
Well, that's doing that was the example that we're talking about. Okay? That if I don't try to figure out what it is, then I just leave it the way it is, and the way it is unity, and trying to make some stuff up about it winds up being duality, because we miss. Our reality is not the same as what we make up. If you can understand duality that way, then you've got it made. That in fact, you pointed out that just seeing it as it is without even putting the label or the concept on it, it'd be the bathrobe or apron, then in fact, that apron, if it's the only thing that you've got in the bathroom after you take a shower, you might want to put it on.
Well, I might want to put it on. I'm actually in the kitchen. I'm not generally naked in the kitchen.
Well, if I'm setting it up, though, then it could be a bathrobe under the certain right conditions. So, in that regard, the duality then is a duality between what's real and what's not real. How things should be or how I want things to be creates a duality, and the reality is that things are the way that they are. Now, most of the time, most of the people live in a duality. But when we get real, we can get into unity. So back to the point, there you are sitting in the chair in the place that you are. And the reality is that you are interacting with that room. You're breathing the air. You're putting pressure on the floor. You are a part of that room, and without you, the room is not the same. Without you in the room is different than when you're there. Then, in fact, as you look around, you may start to alter the room. Wash the dishes, sweep the floor, paint the walls, burn the place down. There's all kinds of things that you could do to that room because you are a part of that room. That you need the air in that room, you need that chair that you're sitting in, or you'd fall on the floor, and you need that floor, or goodness knows where you would fall to. So, what I'm saying is that the reality is that you are part of the room. You become the room, and when you are at one with the room, that means that you're quite willing to breathe its air and sit there and just be happy in that room because you're part of the room. But most people don't see themselves as part of the room. They see themselves as separate from the room. They have the mentality of duality. I am not the room.
I most definitely have the attitude of duality. I am not the room. I may be sitting in it, but how am I part of it?
You're breathing the air.
Hmm?
You are at one with the air in the room. The air goes in and out. That you would alter the room. In fact, if the room had no holes in it at all, then you would eventually be breathing only your old stale air. You would change the atmosphere of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is that you're a part of room. You're a part of the nature. Those who are in a paradise are part of the paradise. You are part of nature. Without nature, you couldn't exist. And when we accept that the reality is that I need the reality in order to exist, I'm actually part of the reality. And when I make some change, the reality of the room changes also. This is unity. When we accept that we're part of the environment that we're in. And my attitude has an effect upon it. For instance, this place that I live is a paradise. Other people who would come here would say, oh, there's too many pebbles on the ground, and then they'll sweep. Others will say the grass is too high and they'll cut grass. Others will say those coconuts, I can make some money off of it, and I'll send a monkey up the tree to gather those coconuts. They don't see this place as a paradise. They want to fix it. They want to change it. But I can be happy and content that I live in a paradise, even though those people are out there making changes to it. So they see it as a duality, and I see it as a unity. I'm just part of the nature, part of reality. So don't get too hung up, Jerry, about this concept that the Mahayana make a great big deal out of unity versus duality, and just accept that you live in a unity and think that you live in a duality, which is creating the duality, by the way. You already live in the unity, and having the idea that I'm not this and I'm not that is the duality that's created.
Yes.
And well, occasionally it's a good point to come back and reflect and see things the way that they really are, that I'm part of this porch. I've got ectoplasm all over the place. Hadn't been swept in years.
Ectoplasm.
Pardon?
Did you say ectoplasm?
Yes. What I mean by ectoplasm is dried, dead skin.
Oh, right. That sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but yeah, okay.
Scabs.
Okay. You leave
droplets
traces
of blood from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
We leave stuff around.
We do, we do. That's the...
We become part of the place. In fact, if you weren't in that room, it would be dirty in a different way than if you spent a lot of time in that room.
Well, I can tell you a few things that the kitchen needs, but then there is going to be a new kitchen built in sometime this year, I hope. So,
yeah, so you are going to burn it down.
No, I'm going to get guys in to sort of pull it apart and then build something else. But
paint it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's what you do, you know, you're a householder. Uh-huh. That's what you do.
Well, that kitchen, though, is not screaming at you saying you need to remodel me. That happens inside the human mind. The kitchen is okay the way it is.
Well, the kitchen doesn't know that it's got a gas hob that's actually a most unsatisfactory gas hob.
In that regard, as you've heard me say before, ignorance is bliss. It's when we know stuff is broken that causes duality.
Yeah. Gosh, that. You've got the Indian cuckoo behind you.
Pardon?
I think that is an Indian cuckoo, that bird. It's, I believe it's a...
Oh, I'm sure it's Thai.
I'm sure it is, but I think that's what they call it. At least that's what I read.
Cuckoo,
I
mean, but
woo-woo, woo-woo. There's another beauty, which I call the coitus interruptus bird, that operates probably in your area. It goes whoop, 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 whoop. And then it stops.
We've got those too.
You've got those ones, yes. Yeah. Mm.
And anyway, you're just part of the place.
Yep. Yeah,
they
sure,
don't go
sure
around complaining about the kitchen needs fixing.
Oh no, they're not interested. They don't need a kitchen.
All right. So now you're beginning to understand about the distinction between unity and duality. The duality needs, and the unity doesn't need anything. reality is okay as it is. It's humans that create the duality of thinking that things need to be fixed. And when you can see things the way that they actually are and things are okay the way that they are, now you're back into unity. That's the concept that all of these Mahayana dudes keep droning on about without quite understanding it. In fact, they create a duality by talking about duality and unity. The guys who talk about duality and unity create a duality. And those who are not thinking about duality and unity, they're just living in unity without creating the duality of having a duality.
Well, yes. You
see, the duality is just a stupid concept that some Mahayana dude made up. The Buddha doesn't talk about unity and duality. He talks about unification of the mind because he can see that the human mind creates the duality. And the duality is the distinction when he talks about Sila Bhatta Paramasa. He's talking about how things ought to be, and we get really attached to how things should be. We get attached to all of these rules and rituals and ways to do things and all of the shoulds and woulds and coulds. And so we create a duality by having things to be what they should be like, what they ought to be, as opposed to the unity of how things really are. The Buddha talks about that, but it's all in the mind, in the sense that when we want things to be a certain way, instead of accepting the way things are, that also creates a duality. So both saying that it should be like that or that I want it to be like that is creating the duality. And just being accepting of the way things are means that the mind can be unified and whole. All duality is in the human mind. And the mind of some animals, by the way.
Well,
but reality is just reality as it is. And so I hope that you can not stay confused about duality because it's a stupid concept in the first place. Those who talk about duality create the duality that they're talking about. The reality is that everything is already in unity. Everything that is in nature is part of nature and is of nature. It could not be any other way.
Yes, but when you have, you can't live without duality. You can't live without things.
I didn't say that you can live without duality. You're coming from that position that duality is bad. And remember back to the middle path. Sometimes duality is there and we can deal with it. But when it's not there, let's not make it up. And live happily the way things are. Or if you need to make something so that you can feel more comfortable, let us say that the chair that you're sitting in, the leg breaks. And you fall on your floor. Hopefully not breaking your own leg. All right. And so in order to sit in the chair needs to be repaired. So you can see that duality is there. So let's get the chair fixed so that you can sit back down and say, oh, what a relief it is. The chair is fixed. I don't have to deal with the duality of a broken chair and me wanting to sit in it. and we can come back to unity as a resting place. Yes, there are dualities. I'm not saying that there is only unity, but the duality that does exist is existing in the human mind. For instance, if the chair leg was broken and you were not in the room, either when it was broken or after it was broken, then the kitchen doesn't care whether that chair's leg is broken or not. It's only when you come in and say, I don't want that chair's leg broken, that's when you create a duality. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that you created the duality. Well, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that you created it. When in fact the kitchen and the chair with the leg broken were all sitting quite happily. And you came in and you wanted the chair to be fixed so you could sit in it.
My difficulty is that it's not that's all right in the sort of instant, in the here and now. And
that's
so
all we've got is this instant. You don't have a
but
past.
In the here and now,
future.
You have to prepare for what's coming. I mean, you have to grease your truck because you know that one day you're going to have to drive your truck down to someplace in order to get your visa or whatever you're doing. You have to oil and grease the truck so it works.
Let somebody else do that. That's their duality. I don't have to have
it. You've got to get them to do it because that's your.
I don't have to get them to do it. They'll do it without me having to get them to do it. Maybe I need to remind them, but generally they take care of it without me.
That's because you've already set it up that way and you have to set things up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I set it up so I don't have to live so much in duality. I can live in nature. But I don't drive anymore, and I really like that. Tam doesn't want me to drive. I'm an old man. I'm nearly blind. She doesn't want me driving, and I don't want to drive, and so everything is hunky-dory. There's unity there. If I want to drive, now I'm creating a duality.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. There is nothing wrong with duality. We're just describing the distinction between what's real and what's in the human mind.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I'm drawing that distinction without drawing any judgments about it. And there's a whole lot of people who are out there yapping their mouth about duality and they don't have a clue about what they're talking about.
Yes, well, really what it comes down to, I think for myself, is all I really know about this whole Buddhist business, this whole concept, whatever you like, is that, you know, it has taught me how to do certain things to make myself feel good,
yes,
temporarily, and that's about it.
Well, that's all you all have as things are temporary. I mean, you were a kid in diapers at one time, but that was temporary.
Yeah, and somebody, there had to be some duality to change the diaper.
Well, you're not the same. Things keep changing. That's the reality. And having to keep up with those changes is duality. And you'll hear them talk about duality as if it were something bad or rotten, And they talk about unity as if it were something so profound that we should do it all the time.
Yep.
But the middle path is that sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you see, this is where you find all this stuff. Again, people's descriptions of what they reckon has happened to them, where they have a sort of sudden flash of illumination and the whole world changes, and maybe it dissolves into shimmering rainbows, or maybe it dissolves into little tiny bits, and they say,
go out of that. They don't stay in it.
I've seen sort of subatomic particles or something, you see.
Which is just a conceptualization of how they feel.
Mm-hmm. And then they say, and after that, you know, everything changes. The whole world looks different.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reality seems different.
It goes back and looks the same old way that it did because of their habits. They don't stay in that special place of feeling so good that they think that they can see charged particles.
Quite a nice thought. I wouldn't mind seeing a few charged particles myself. Except, of course, I wouldn't know if they were charged particles or what they were, because...
Have you ever heard of the concept sea stars?
You mean that what you're supposed to get when you're bopped on the head?
When you get hit on the head, right. Mm. Okay, well, that's the state that people get into. They start seeing stars. Their mental perception changes, and they think that they can see charged particles. The reality is that they just see stars, which is just actually another kind of concept that flashes of light or things change in the field of vision without using the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So all of that happens from time to time, but when it happens to some people, they want it again badly. They want that feeling back again. It passed. Are they satisfied that it passed and it's not there anymore, or do they create a duality of I want it again? This is a major issue in meditation, by the way, is somebody will have an experience. They think that they're special. We got a couple of arahats that are out there talking about that they had a special experience, and now that makes them an arahat. And they don't like the fact that now they feel bad from time to time when people are talking about them. Talk about a particular situation.
Sure.
All right, and sure, the reality is that people do have special experiences, but it doesn't mean a thing. The reality is it doesn't mean a thing, and the duality is that they think that that was a special experience. Always, what really matters is what's happening right now, not old experiences from 1996.
Yeah, well,
I think that was the year. I may be wrong about that too.
Yeah, well, it depends. It depends whose blog you listen to, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that basis, I just had 10 minutes while waiting to phone you of a very nice experience, and it doesn't mean a thing.
Doesn't mean a thing. But go have another one because you like it.
Yeah.
And you can have it. The real issue of dukkha is wanting something that you can't have. And Jerry, you've got quite a following of folks that are really appreciative that you can, in fact, feel good when you want to.
Really?
Yeah. They don't talk to you about it. They talk to me.
Well... Oh,
Why? Because they want what you've got and they don't have it and you do.
I'll
so
have
you're in unity
having.
And they're in duality.
Yeah. How strange. How strange. Oh, well.
So I hope that this gives you the explanation about what really duality and unity are. Living in the real world, wanting things that you can have is all unity. Wanting things you can't have is duality.
Well, wanting things that you can have, it's that's not wanting, that's having.
Right. It's just exactly. Well, that's in the sense wanting. you want a sip of cup of coffee and you take a sip of cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But how about if you want a drink and there's no water within 100 miles? Now that's a duality. That'll kill you.
Big time, yeah. 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 Well, I cannot imagine how anybody can listen to watch you talking to me and get anything out of it, quite honestly. Because it's just
well, you're getting something out of it.
Sure. Sure, I am, but, somebody else watching it. I mean, they can do their own thing.
I imagine that some people, when they watch this, they'll be cheering. Yeah, finally I understand duality and unification.
Good, good.
Because you got something out of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, most of the time they make a big deal out of it, and by making a big deal, they create duality.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about duality and unity, they create a duality. Those who are on to duality and unity are creating a duality. And those who are not talking about duality and unity are not creating a duality. They're just living in unity. Talking about duality creates duality.
Hmm. On that basis, we should all shut up and sit down and go and practice the jhanas, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we don't need too many jhanas, just enough to be happy. Middle path. The Buddha's on the middle path. We don't have to go to one extreme or the other. Just a little dab will do ya.
Sounds like Yogi Bear.
No, it's I would take Brill Cream.
Hmm?
Brill Cream.
Oh, little dab will do ya.
Yeah.
I thought it was Yogi Bear saying yabba dabba doo or something.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well.
All right. Well, let's finish this talk while we're still in unification.
Is that where we are?
Yeah. And I got another student with duality.
Good. Good. Cheers. Thanks a lot, Damaratu. Bye-bye.
I really enjoy our conversations. This is great. We'll see
you
later.
Well, it's always a laugh, if nothing else.
Okay.
Okay. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.